This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
According to Fitch Ratings, the volume of Islamic bonds saw relatively moderate growth in the first quarter of this year. Total volume of Sukuk rated by Fitch stood at some $80 billion at the end of the first quarter. That's a net increase of some 6% compared to the end of 2017. Joining us is Bashir Al-Natur, Global Head of Islamic Finance for Fitch Ratings. Good morning, Bashir. Let's begin by getting a sense of Malaysia's position in the global hub, as a global hub for Islamic finance.
Good morning. I think the Islamic finance industry in Malaysia is actually one of the most evolved ones. Whether you're talking about frameworks, whether you're talking about the regulation system, standardization and harmonization, and here I'm talking about whether it's Sukuk, whether it's Islamic banks or takaful companies or the other sects of Islamic finance in general. So I think they've cemented their position quite well. Maybe to put it in perspective, we see Malaysia as the most evolved in terms of framework and regulations for Islamic finance. But if you talk about the size of the market, you'll have countries like Saudi Arabia, where you have almost around 78% of the financing in the banking sector is Islamic finance. In Malaysia, you're talking about 30%. But if you look at the demographics of Saudi Arabia, where it's a Muslim population 100%, and Malaysia not having a 100% population, you can see the achievement there. If you look at the global level, and you look at the Sukuk now, not the Islamic banks, you'll see Malaysia is actually one of the most leading countries in terms of domestic market Sukuk issuance, where you have almost 60% of outstanding issuance Sukuk. So it's the dominant one. But if you look at the international market, I think the story is a bit different.
But if you have seen countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar who have stepped up their issuance of Sukuk, given Malaysia's standing in the global Islamic finance world, will that still hold, given external factors and also domestic factors, such as the change in federal government?
I think when you look at Islamic finance industry, you need to look at it from how is it structured. So usually I like to simplify it and say whether it's a top-down or a bottom-up. What I mean is there a government strategy and a push for Islamic finance, and is there demand from the actual population? And I think in most countries you'll find the two, but in many countries you'll find more structured and stronger than the other. So in Malaysia, there is an actual strategy to develop Islamic finance. They are trying to achieve certain goals. They are trying to say by 2020, achieve 40% of the banking industry and the financing industry being Islamic finance. If you look at Saudi Arabia, although the vast majority of financing there is Islamic finance, but they don't have a government strategy. The demand is actually bottom up. It's coming from the actual population. So I would say it depends on these dynamics. But in terms of placing Malaysia on the global map, it cemented its place as a standardized, developed hub for Islamic finance, but it did not attract the international investors to the market. So it continues to be a local story and a domestic story rather than being the place where international issuers comes and list, like Dubai, the IFC, where you have the biggest international listing, where Malaysia has a very much developed domestic Sukuk market, which I've said around 60% of the actual standing issuance. Right.
Now, Bashir, look, over the last couple of months or so, we have seen the new government signaling intent to cut back on expenditure, you know, certainly on some of those big-ticket infrastructure projects. So given those domestic dynamics, right, how do you see the supply for and demand for Sukuk, you know, playing out for the rest of the year?
I think from an Islamic finance point of view, funding is not a one-year story. And if you're talking about Islamic finance, it's actually a medium to long-term story. And I think that will continue to be there. Diversifying of funding and tapping into whether domestic or maybe at a later stage international market is not something that's going to disappear. It could change from one period to another. It could slow down and then pick up. But the development story, I think, is there. About the new government and that, I think the new prime minister is actually one of the old supporters of Islamic finance. And I don't think that there is something that to flag there that, okay, this could happen.
So then, Bashir, what would be the key challenges for the outlook for Sukuk, not just here in Malaysia, but also around the world?
It's a good question. If you look at the global story and if you look at Sukuk, I think the main player internationally is the GCC. And there are three factors that pose a challenge. First, the increasing oil prices. Because when the oil prices increase, the government's tendency and pressure to diversify funding and tap markets could be impacted. Although they could stick to their diversification policy and still issue Sukuk and bonds, but their need is lower because the oil prices is better. So the deficit that they need today. The second one is actually the geopolitical situation, specifically in the Gulf. And there is a lot of areas there that impact the investors and the international investor appetite towards buying a Sukuk or a bond in that part of the world. And the third one is the emerging market story, the increasing Fed fund rates, the increasing rates, and the appetite of the international investor to buy emerging markets issuance, whether it's a Sukuk or a bond in Saudi Arabia, GCC, or anywhere else. So I think these are the key three factors to watch for.
Thank you so much, Bashar. That was Bashar Al-Natour, a global head of Islamic finance for Fitch Ratings.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.